You ever try to bite your nails and like you rip and then it rips in instead of across? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't bite my nails. It's disgusting.
God, who are you?
I bite my
Do
nails.
Something normal and I human for once in your goddamn life.
I literally never clip my nails. I always bite them.
Okay, I was about to fucking
can't tell
say
you
I
last
did
time
not
I clipped
think,
mine.
Yeah, I never. I clip my toenails because standards. Okay, biting your toenails. In a way, of respect, because you just don't care what anybody thinks if you're doing that.
Just like sometimes people casually bite their fingernails, like in front of other people. What if that happened with your feet? So like, you know, you're just hanging out and all of a sudden you just casually take your shoe off, bring your
and the sock, your bring
foot,
it up to your foot,
up to your mouth, and start chomping.
You know, it'd be like the ultimate like move. Like imagine, okay, here's what you should do. You're auditioning for
don't
like
tell me what to do.
Oh, okay.
Here's
Never
what
mind.
You should do.
Never
what,
mind.
What should I do?
Never mind. Sorry, I didn't want to tell you. You're auditioning for like a role in a movie where you're like a madman, wild guy. You know what I mean? Like you've been raised like Tarzan type.
Okay.
Character, okay. You go in there and you're like just all dirty, wearing leaves and like looking all crazy. And you start doing that shit. You just get in there, you sit down, you're oonga boongaing, and you just start clipping your own toenails and like eating bugs out of your hair, dude. No way you don't get that role.
If you start eating your own toenails in front of them, maybe they're just so disgusted. They're like, I can't deal.
Well, they're not in it for the art. They're just trying to make a commercial, in which case you don't want to be in that.
Which is all of media now, just trying to make money.
Nuh-uh, bro. Not Hitman's Ham.
Not New Mutants, bro. That was
yeah,
art.
Yeah, that was art. That was straight art.
That was art. So,
wow. What a great 8 seconds that was. Jesus Christ. Do we need to restart? Because
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
We were supposed to record this earlier today, and right when, you know, you were supposed to be here, so I guess it's a good thing you were late today.
Oh, yeah, super fucking late.
I was supposed to be at work, apparently. I wake up, and it was like 11:15. No, it was like 11:20. Not when I woke up, but when I was like sitting waiting for Nate to do this pod, and I get a call from my boss. He's like, we're trying to figure out, you know, where you are. You're supposed to be here. It's like, you're supposed to cover this. Someone said you're going to cover their shift today. I was like, ah, yeah, I did. Yep. I did say that, didn't I?
100% said that. Yes, you
I went
correct.
To bed last night, and I was like, I looked at my schedule. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to work tomorrow. I don't know why I have that feeling, but my schedule says I don't. I did. So there's no worse feeling than having to go to work on a day that you think you have off.
Neato burrito. Wow, that was really good that you told me that, because I was like, oh my god, I was running so late. I don't know why I was so tired this morning, and there was no fucking way.
Would have been a bad cast anyways, yep. I guess, boys.
Not like this one, dude. This one's so good so far.
We got energy. We got lots of energy.
Let's talk about the news.
There's no this. We don't talk about news in these episodes.
We're gonna talk about this news. It's very important.
Oh no,
Chris Evans' penis.
You looked, didn't you?
I did not, but I did look into how much he showed, and apparently there was dick involved.
Should we explain? Because I feel like,
oh yeah, I guess he. Do you think he did it on purpose?
So it wasn't somebody else, because it sounds like there wasn't a lot of, what's the word? There wasn't a lot of, like,
I don't think it was, he didn't say hacked
or
anything.
Not scrutiny. There wasn't a lot of confusion or rumors. There's another word I'm looking for, around it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, how did it get out? Or like, it ended up, it's just like, he was like, oops. Yeah. That's basically how it was.
I know, it's kind of weird.
The nude photo leaked.
How do you do that?
I don't know. Like, and where was it leaked?
Does he have like TMZ's number, but then like right above TMZ's number is like,
so you don't
Tina.
Know like where it got posted or whatever.
No,
do you?
I mean like I said, I it's hard to try to look
you
it
are
up,
about to make my
not...
search history very bad.
It's a weird thing to look up because I'm not trying to see it, but I'm also not trying to, like, I want to find out information about it but not actually find it. So I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's going to come up that easily. I'm sure it's been taken off of like Twitter and stuff like that already. I think that's probably where that must have been where it got leaked, right? Twitter is where all terrible things happen in the world.
He accidentally posts his nude photo. There it is. Look. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm trying to find out where. Though the photograph was soon removed, it triggered a plethora of reactions.
Wow.
Who were shocked when they found out why the 39-year-old Avengers actor was trending on Twitter. So, what are all these pop-ups? Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What site are you on?
IndianExpress.com,
dude. Not, you know, nothing racist.
It was the top. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was the third one. Okay. But this is talking about how he thanked his fans for their support.
I've heard different things about his wing. I've heard that it's monstrous, and I've heard some people say it's weird.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah. Is that okay? So here's the moral dilemma here. Is it bad to look at Chris Evans' wing? Because, like, it was bad when people were looking at, like, Jennifer Lawrence's thing, right? That was really big there for a while. It was everyone in the world looked at Jennifer Lawrence's nudes when they got leaked or whatever. Look, that was bad. People shouldn't have done that. Like,
well, first of all,
obviously, it shouldn't have been leaked. Like, that was hacked. Like, you know what I mean? But also, if you know it's been hacked and you know that she didn't put that out there, well, you shouldn't be looking
at
it.
But we know he didn't put it out there willingly.
That's his response
to it obviously doesn't seem to care, but you shouldn't.
Yeah, but dudes
unless
and
somebody
dicks are kind of like, hee, it's kind of funny. You know what I mean?
You're part of the problem.
Ah, oh, don't give me that.
You're part
bullshit.
Of the problem.
Part of the problem stuff. Listen, when it's a woman, it's assault. When it's a dude, it's funny.
That's what I'm saying. You're part of the problem. Wow. I'm trying to figure out where it leaked and how it leaked. And if it's
leaky,
you better stop it right now. Right now.
I'm just saying, Chris, if you didn't want this to happen, you wouldn't be taking those pictures.
Isn't exactly in the mood to talk about it. He accidentally shared a photo of his wee-wee on his Instagram stories.
Oh.
You know what that means.
He was DMing it to someone?
You know what that means. Yeah, probably.
That's kind of fishy. Why would you DM? Isn't he married?
Maybe.
Do you DM your wife on Instagram?
He likes
Maybe
to
fucking text her.
I don't know, dude.
I don't. Now, Chris Evans, now I feel okay looking at it because I know you're trying to DM some fresh young.
So you're trying to find an excuse so you can look at it? No. I don't understand. That shouldn't make a difference.
I just want to know if it's weird.
Yes, it is. It is.
No. Like his dick is weird.
Oh.
Not like the situation. No, I know that's all weird. I'm saying I want to know if it's
I don't
weird.
Think he is married, by the way. I don't know where you
really?
Heard that. Yeah, I've heard because remember he was dating Ashley Olsen. Is it not Ashley? With
Elizabeth
the
Olsen?
Yeah, who was in Avengers for a while. No, he's not married.
Oh.
Yeah, he.
Oh. I don't know why I was like so instantly. I switched teams where I was like, "Fuck you, Chris." It does still seem like he's DMing it to somebody. So, Elizabeth, is that you? Yeah, I don't know why I thought he was married. How old is he? 60. Like 36. I want to say.
Sure. I don't know.
Chris Evans' age, 39. And you're not married yet.
Is this the same Chris Evans? Because there's another question that says how many. Oh, it says Chris Evans parentheses presenter. It's got to be a different guy. Because this person was. Yes, this is not. Yeah, no, this is a different guy.
It's the Chris
spouses,
Evans.
And it has like three different spouses. Married in 1991, divorced 1998. How old was he in 91? That was almost 30 years ago. So 10.
Yeah.
Basically.
Would he been 10?
Roughly. So. Because it's about 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah, okay. No.
Actually, maybe exactly.
No, he would have been 7.
I said about. My point is he wouldn't be married.
Yeah.
I'm not getting into semantics here. Well, thanks for that news.
Right.
I don't really care what it looks like, if I'm being honest with you.
Wow. Cringe.
But if you want to talk about how much you just are hoping and begging to know how it looks, I don't know. There's a way to
just
find
curious.
Out. Actually, I don't know if there's a way to find out anymore.
I'm sure there's no way. Once it's out there,
it's
dude,
be out
there's
there.
No way they got rid of it all. That would be insane if they did. Do you think that if something like that happens, that it should be like illegal to post it again?
I'm sorry?
You know if what? I mean? Like, say your dick pic gets put out on the internet by accident. And then, like, you make it, like, publicly clear. They're like, please stop looking at it.
That's still, like, invasion of privacy. And probably, I don't know if assault's the right word, but some form of, like, I don't know what it would be. More than just invasion of privacy.
What do you think
that happened
to people? You think they should die?
Where are you going with this? I just think you shouldn't do it. It's kind of ironic ripping. You're wearing a Captain America shirt today.
Oh, yeah, dude, represent.
You saw it. You saw it.
I did not.
Well, that's cool. That's pretty dandy.
Yep, that was my news. That's what happened to me this week.
Ooh, exciting movie news.
I mean, there's more stuff, but I would probably save it for the main one, right?
Yeah, whatever, dude. If you want to spill, we can spill.
Well, I guess the only real other thing was that there's been some Mandalorian drama going on.
Drama? I just heard that it's coming out again.
Yeah, so the second season has come out on the 30th of October, and they dropped the second trailer for it recently. But the trailer doesn't really have anything to do with the drama. The drama is that there's just been a bunch of articles going around saying that they're like trying to move away, like have the actual Mandalorian be less like the show be less about the character, the Mandalorian, because apparently Pedro Pascal has been being kind of weird on set about. So he wants to have more like, because I didn't know this, but the entire character is basically done without him. He does the voiceover, but all of the body work, all of it pretty much, except for like I think that one scene at the end where he shows his face, is done by a guy named Brandon Wade.
Is it done by like a stunt double? Like
it's done, yes,
a guy who can do
it's
stunts?
It's done by the guy. Who's that? Oh my gosh, I feel so dumb.
I don't know who you're talking about. So
yeah, but basically it's done by a different guy. I'm going to look it up because it's important. You don't know the guy, but you know who he's related to. So he like apparently at one point walked off set and after a fight with like, I guess, Favreau and some of the other writers, directors about like where the show was going as far as, because
who
apparently
did, Pedro or
Pedro,
the other guy?
Yeah, okay. Because he was basically saying that he's not doing any, like he wants to do actual like physical acting, I guess.
I could see that if you're an actor and then.
So you're saying that voice actors aren't important?
No, I'm saying that if he's more so of a physical, it depends on the, here's the thing, is it depends on the contract that they signed at the beginning, I guess.
Yeah, what the expectations were at the beginning.
Yeah, because if they made him think that he was going to do some of that stuff, I can see how it would get frustrating. I didn't say I could see him walking off and refusing. I'm just saying I can see how it can be frustrating. If,
right.
Like, if there's such a cool show, like if I got involved in a Star Wars show, mm-hmm. and I was under the implication I'm going to be acting in a Star Wars show, and all they were like, yeah, just come to the sound booth and you can say some, you know, you'll voice
over
it.
Yeah, certainly
it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, to kind of blow up the, I mean, that's, but at the same time, you know, I mean, he's a pretty big actor now, old Pedro, but I wouldn't say he's so big that, you know, a big company like Disney, I mean, if he fucks over this show by like trying to walk off and they have to like do recasting and stuff, which is going to hurt the show at least a little bit, that's, he's going to be like basically blacklisted from Disney. And that's a big, like, you're blacklisting yourself from half of movies.
Yeah.
That's bold, to say the least.
I mean, I don't know if it's that serious. I'll do some research on it. We can talk about it more next week. I don't want to get too much into a bunch of crazy stuff, because I want to make sure we're pretty focused here on the series we're finishing up. But that is interesting. I will do more research on it. Hopefully we'll have more movie news for you guys next week. Anything else before we jump into the movie?
I'm really trying to find this guy because it's cool, but maybe we'll just talk about it later because I can't find it.
Stay tuned for
Brendan
next.
Brendan Wade, who's like the grandson or son of John Wayne? Wayne. Did I say Wade? Brendan Wade. Yeah, he's the guy in the suit, as well as another guy, but a lot of it's him. I just thought that was interesting. John Wayne's something.
Okay. Awesome. Glad you found that.
Man, we are nailing this by.
I don't know much about that whole situation, but it's interesting to think about, and we'll get back to you about it, you know.
Neat.
Back down to next week. But I want to focus pretty heavily here on the topic at hand.
Dang, dude. Do your best Red Dragon impression.
It's a red dragon,
right? Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
good. I could hear the red.
or should I have just made like the impression of the creepy guy in this movie? Is that what you wanted?
He's doing like a weird voice. A lot of this movie's. We'll get into it. we're doing Red Dragon, which is the third in the trilogy that many people probably didn't know was a trilogy of, I guess, the Silence of the Lambs trilogy that has Anthony Hopkins in it. This is a
prequel. I wonder how many people listening to this.
That's a remake of the 1986 Manhunter or 88 Manhunter.
So it's a remake?
Dude, it's basically, okay, so.
I wonder how many people are going to get like on or get frustrated listening to this saying like, it's not a trilogy. There's five movies or whatever. Because apparently these are the only three that Anthony Hopkins are in, and they apparently tell a more cohesive story.
And
these three?
These three are related.
Right.
They do. They share Anthony Hopkins and a couple other actors and a couple other characters. And they do. They all seem to exist in the same universe.
It doesn't make sense for them to have more movies after this. Not that they couldn't. I'm just saying, like, this is fine.
Well,
this
is
fine.
There's also, I think there's four books. And there's five movies because there's two movies are over the same book, which is Red Dragon. That's the name of the book. And Manhunter and Red Dragon, the movie, are taking over the same thing. I don't know if it's the same story, pretty much, because this is pretty much the same story as the book, although it is a little different. But and then Hannibal Rising was the last book, and obviously is the last movie they made in 2007. I'm going to watch it, but it doesn't have Anthony Hopkins in it, so we're not going to review it. But I'm curious, because I've never seen it, but I don't. If I remember correctly,
you've never seen it, but you're still calling it as like, okay,
because there's just, it has basically no affiliation with it. I'm also going to watch the show. I think I'm going to at least try the show, the Hannibal TV show from like 2015 to 2018.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious.
Well, you know, from the past previous episodes, I'm not watching that show.
Yeah. Because you don't really care about this. This is the least interested in a movie series think you've ever been.
At least the first two episodes. We'll see if this one's any different.
Yeah, that could be true. So yeah, this is the third one. This one came out just a year after Hannibal, and it's got Edward Norton's our main guy. It's a prequel, so this takes place before Silence of the Lambs. It's kind of in a couple different time periods. It's in like, it starts in 1980, and then it jumps to like 88, and then it like jumps like 6 months later until right before Silence of the Lambs.
Right, but you say it takes place in moments like different, which yes, it does, but 95% of the movie
is,
if not 98%, because it's the first like 5-10 minutes takes place like
8 years
before that. The first five, 10 minutes, then it's the main movie, then it's just the end to set up the kind of Silence of the Lambs moment.
Yeah, it's just like, I think it's only like a 6 or 8 month. It's not a full year time jump there. Yeah, so I mean, I'm just saying, I didn't say like the whole thing's just like jumping around the whole time or anything. We got Edward Norton as our main guy, our William Graham. We actually have quite a few, if I remember correctly, like Harvey Keitel's in this, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and then obviously Anthony Hopkins. And this is a Brett Ratner movie, who I don't know if you know any of his stuff. He's kind of a weird dude. He did all of the Rush Hour movies.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Yes, but he's been soft canceled. I don't know if they found out all of his stuff was true, but he got Me Too'd like 3 or 4 years ago, and like he has like 18 different like accusations against him. I didn't remember it happening. This is just all me looking up afterwards, so he could be innocent, guilty, I don't know, but he's not really making movies anymore. That's basically where we're at now. But this is a weird movie for him to make, because most of his other stuff is like, he's kind of Michael Bay-ish. And they're, you know what I mean? Like, he makes kind of blockbustery, half comedy, half action type stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for him to come out with this, and for this to, in my opinion, going right into my hot take, for this to be better than the one that Ridley Scott did, Hannibal, blows my mind. But we'll get into that. Yeah, so this is just based off of the first book before Silence of the Lambs. William Graham is an FBI profiler, or former was. He's the one who caught Hannibal and put him in jail back in 1980, and he gets brought back to take down the Tooth Fairy Killer.
So literally, it's about the guy who first brought down Hannibal Lecter, and then he has to use Hannibal Lecter to get help to find somebody else.
Exactly.
Very similar plot
to Silence of the Lambs. Yeah,
the Silence of the Lambs, and except he's not quite as he doesn't take quite as much of a liking to this character as he does to her, because he basically tries to, soft spoiler here, well, okay, I'll refrain from saying that, but he does things that are very apparent that it's like he doesn't really care about him. He kind of just helps him because it gives him something to do, which is fine and cool for his character, I guess. Like, that doesn't really give me an issue, but so that makes it a little different.
Well, is it then, or is he trying to get Graham killed?
Well, I was trying to said I was going to save the soft spoiler.
Oh,
but
this movie is what? 18
I'm just saying,
years old?
Yeah, but you know, you never know. People want to watch some of these because of recommendations. But yeah, let's put it this way: there are points. What I was going to say is there are points where he does try to get him killed.
Yeah.
So my way of saying that in a even less spoilery way, which even though that's not it's crazy spoiler, is he doesn't take as much of a liking to him. He's just kind of doing it because it's interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is
interesting. Or yeah, just because he knows that if he gets close in this interrogation aspect, he can kind of manipulate the people on the other end to maybe kill the guy who took him down. So it's a little bit different of a dichotomy, which makes it still interesting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's another guy, another criminal who is killing people and doing weird things and. Kind of like the other movies, as far as there's a criminal who is doing terrible things to people, and Hannibal Lecter is helping the main protagonist, FBI agent, take him down.
Well, the last movie we did didn't really have this same. It had
right,
this
like
kind
I
of
said, that's why it's more like Silence
him,
of the Lambs in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, but it's basically just Silence of the Lambs again, which I think is probably overall good for it, just because that's kind of the tried and true method. And when we did a, you know, vastly different take, you know, kind of idea with Hannibal, it did not work at all. You know what I mean? Like that,
yeah.
That totally fell apart when he had this kind of weird, complicated plot that focused solely on Hannibal. He's better, I think, when he's just this like oddball exception to the movie overall. He's just kind of like this, device you use to, get from point A to B. Point A to point B, but
he's a very Hannibal is a very interesting character in Silence of the Lambs and in this movie in the way that he's different from Hannibal the second one because he's not a main character. He's almost like the most important side character that I've ever seen in a movie. As in like. The movie would not exist without him, but it's almost hard to be like he is the main character, but he's such a pivotal role. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting role that I don't see very often in movies, so it's kind
of
cool.
And then just like in Silence of the Lambs, in this movie, Hannibal and Graham only share 4 scenes together in the whole thing.
In this one?
Mm-hmm. Just like in the first one. So I think it's so funny because, again, we go from guy, you know, like Brett Ratner, who's kind of got, you know, very like blockbustery reputation for his movies. And then he makes this, which is, it's not amazing by anything. There's no Silence of the Lambs, but it's clear that there was actually a lot of it feels like there was a lot of love for the series when he went into this, because he does do a lot of cool little things in this that are kind of soft recalling and kind of just doing the series and kind of the character and the books probably, like, you know, justice, I guess, is my point. So I was really surprised, because when I went into this, like I said, I'd seen these before, but they were hazy in my memory. And since I totally misrecalled Hannibal, the second one, I was real worried about this one. I was like, oh, God, this one's going to be a shit show. And I think this one's good. It's not great. It's not like amazing. There's some weird stuff about it. And overall, I don't think it's like a super memorable movie. It's probably just that's probably why I thought it was better or whatever than it was. But it's certainly better than Hannibal, the second movie. And I think I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised.
All right. Good review.
What you got?
This is my favorite one.
Wow, I was so, oh God, that I, for some reason, man, I fucking knew you were going to say that.
Why? Why do you think that it's my favorite one out of all of them?
I can't say I know why I think it's your favorite one, but I had just this oddball feeling that this one was going to be your favorite, which is so funny, because it's, you know, this is just... Obviously, everyone, Silence of the Lambs is known as a classic. So, to, you know, even though this one's fine, to compare it and say that this one's better than that one is just, if most people, you know, or most people who are familiar with it would be like, you're fucking insane.
Well, let's see if I can back it up. It might be hard, but I like as we go through, not right now, but as we go through, it's... I also, and I'm not saying you try to do this, but I very much do not try to just say, this is a classic and everybody loves it, and it's known to be better. That does not put me at a place where I then have, like, I'm not, my brain does not go, cool, I'm going to go into it knowing that, and my mind is basically going to be forced into, I'm going to defend that. You know what I mean? Like, sticking behind that just because that's what everybody says.
Which kind of bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm not saying you do.
Although, there's no way for it, if you know it, there's no way for it not to have hold over you, over your viewing of it, right? Like, you're if you know, like, for Silence of the Lambs, that you're going and watching it, that it was, you know, that it's as known as it is, or even if you knew it won all the Oscars or whatever, there's no way that you can't, that can't be in your mind when you're watching the movie.
You're saying it, there's no way it can't have any effect.
Yes.
I will give you that.
It's going to have some effect, whether it could have the opposite effect, where you're going into it saying, oh, this isn't, like, I'm going to tear this movie apart in my mind, because in no way it's as good as people are saying.
I'm not going to say I'm not going to say I'm some next level being here, like human being that I go, no, that's not true. That doesn't have any effect. But I will say that I think that I have it. I think I have gotten to a point where I can have make it have less effect than most people. Mm-hmm. There are lots of movies, and you know this too. Not that I have bad taste in movies, but there are a handful of movies that I really like that people think are bad, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. That people think are really good and I don't like. And the reason we started this podcast is because me and Nate talk about these things, and overall, I don't think you think that I have a terrible taste in movies. It's different than yours, but so...
Wasn't there, like, a really classic example of something that you think is good that everyone, like, super hates? I want to say that there was, and I just can't remember.
Well,
it
one movie that I actually do really like... This might be the one you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. I don't know. One movie I do really like. I'm going to have to rewatch it because...
It's been a while.
Maybe this is nostalgia mixed with some of my...
That's what happened
to one of my
these.
Favorite characters... And stuff like that. I like Amazing Spider-Man 2. And everybody hates that movie.
Yeah.
That's just one example.
I mean, I remembered that, but I for some reason I felt like there was some like kind of more classic movie opposed to something as contemporary as that that you were like, oh, this is amazing, and everyone else was like, it is?
A classic movie?
Yeah, something.
Most classics are classics, so they're great. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I thought, or I don't know.
One way or the other, there's definitely some movie or movies out there that I'm on the opposite side. But yeah, I enjoyed this movie the most on a
well, hey, I'm just glad you enjoyed
level.
One of them.
I didn't say I enjoyed it. I said I enjoyed it most.
Wow.
I think I can say I enjoyed this movie. I do think that this is not my favorite movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't know. I'm trying to pinpoint why. I have a couple examples. For me, just watching the first one, I'm trying to compare it to Silence of the Lambs because that's the one that everybody thinks is great. And I think it's good. Like, I don't think it's as far as objectively, I can see that it's good, but it's just not personally my thing. It felt very... There are a lot of moments that just felt very bland from the characters. And I think I said that maybe in the first episode, that were the characters that weren't Hannibal Lecter. That it was just, there was nothing that really jumped out at me. It just seemed very monotones. The ups and downs were very kind of flat for me. And this one, I felt like I had more to grasp onto. And I really enjoyed, even though it was super, super messed up, obviously, the bad guy in this. They dove into, like, a lot about him, which made you kind of hate him more. You know what I mean? But I don't know. They really gave you a lot of different levels of that guy. I did not know that Edward Norton was in this. When I started this and saw him, I was like, that's a pleasant surprise, which I think definitely helps. It always helps when you watch a series that you're not
and
huge.
And you see an actor that you like.
You see an actor that you like. That definitely helps. I think he definitely brought some good stuff to
that
character.
I forgot that Philip Seymour Hoffman is in this, and I love his like main scene.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites of this movie, I think.
Yeah, that is really
one
good.
Of the good ones.
I like that they... So part of me thought, okay, well, this is very similar. I don't know if I'm going to like this. It's basically just a rehash of Silence of the Lambs as far as the plot goes. You're getting Hannibal to help a main FBI guy track down somebody. But they added enough stuff to make it a little different that after the fact, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe is why I actually liked it as much as I do, is like we said, he kind of tries to, he's trying to get help from someone that's kind of trying to kill him. Because in the first one, she was getting help from Hannibal when it was because he found something in her that he liked, and he also kind of liked toying with people, and it was entertaining for him. But this was a different dichotomy between these two characters.
You know, because of what happened with her, he was able to escape. Not directly, but you know right. what I mean.
And the way that Hannibal kind of called out our main character's fear in this one, and yet still the main character was able to, what's his name? We do this
William
every
Graham?
We need, when we make merch, it's going to be what's his name. That it's going to be sure says what's his name. Yeah, Graham, the guy played by Edward Norton. He still, even though Hannibal like senses his fear, he still stands up to Hannibal in ways that like I haven't seen other characters do, and it was fun for me to see.
Yeah,
because he's literally been almost killed by him. That's what he said his secret was. Like, how did you do it? He's like, I let him kill me, which was kind of a clever right. line, but obviously he didn't die, but very close. And so he knows who he's dealing with. Even if he is a little bit afraid, even if Hannibal can tell, he's being afraid or not, he still stands up to him in a way that's like, you're either going to do it or you're not.
Yep.
And I'm out. And I was like, dude, I like this guy. And then the fact, a huge, huge part of why I think I like this movie is the family dynamic of the main character. And maybe, again, maybe the reason that I like this movie more.
The family dynamic of Graham?
The fact that he has a family, they address the family, and how important the family is to the movie, like, at the end. Sure. I liked, and for some reason,
it's interesting.
That drew me in and helped humanize that main character even more. Just helped me relate to the character. Just on a personal level.
Interesting, considering I'd argue that in a way you're more like Starling, who has identically no family of her own. I mean, you know, she basically has no family. But
so, thanks, no one loves me. No, I have no family.
As far as like, you know,
wife
compare
and kids.
The two characters, right? Like, you know, I mean, obviously Starling is young and hasn't. Having a family isn't part of her focus, and she's also driven and, you know, defying odds to do what she's doing. I would see more of that in you than somebody like Graham, who is a bit of a kind of weird, like, you know, has this odd ability to empathize and get in the heads of serial killers and sociopaths, get in their head and deduce things, but also it scares him so much that he quit what he was doing.
It so much more interesting to me for some reason.
No, it's interesting. It's just, I don't know how it's relatable to you.
Well, no, the family dynamic is what I said was relatable.
Yeah,
I didn't say the psychopath part.
I'm just
trying mixed
to
with that.
Dissect it, but sure, okay. I'm not taking it away from you. I'm surprised.
And
I found the family annoying. Stupid kid. I'm just kidding.
I don't know why mm-hmm. I felt so attached at certain points to this man's family, his wife and kid.
Did you like it when they go to the sheep farm?
Because
or the lamb farm? Did you notice how quiet it was there?
At the end of this movie. This is going to come to a shock for you to hear because it's a shock for me.
I cried, bro. From the kid scene where he's like
parading. The last pivotal scene where he's yelling at the kid and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff to get the killer off of him or whatever. And then they go through that whole like shootout battle thing. Once that tension of that whole scene, I was like, my eyes are watering like hard. I was like,
that's
what's
so
going on?
Odd.
What's going on? And like, I don't know if this would have been the end of this movie. I don't want to say saved it because the rest was bad, but the end of this capped off in a way that I didn't expect and really enjoyed because the first movie, see, again, for me on a personal level, seemed just a little more, and you might not like this, but a little more cookie cutter, maybe because I related to those NCIS, yeah. all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas this had a twist at the end that you still might see in those shows, but that I did not see it coming.
Yeah, but does it give you any tools to see it coming? Because I'm the ending is a bit strange for me. Because how does he? Because and maybe we can get into it. But how does he get? How does he not die?
Does it give you tools to? Does it give you tools to see him to see it coming? Maybe not. But we'll touch on that a little bit later.
Yeah,
I still it caught my attention, and I was invested in this guy's, because at the beginning of, or during the movie, he was trying to find his family.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's what made it interesting, that he was trying to kill him, that Hannibal was kind of trying to go out after him, and they're like, oh man, he gave him his address.
Yeah.
Oh snap, is going down. They get saved in the end, and I was like, this man just killed himself. I wasn't expecting that. That kind of not defeats the whole purpose, but makes it a little different and interesting. And we find out he's still alive, and then the way that the family runs in, and the way that what's his name?
William Graham?
Graham. Edward Norton? Never gonna remember. The way that Graham like talks down to his own kid,
mm-hmm.
like really hit me, because I was like, this, he, what he's willing to do to this, to his own kid right now.
Yeah.
When he's about to be, like, this poor 9-year-old, 10-year-old is about to be murdered. There's a knife to his face. The amount of, like, horrific trauma that this kid is going through that is going to, like, for the rest of his life.
Well, let's talk about a Hail Mary.
And, yeah, and then he's making his kid feel even more abandoned and alone in this moment. And I was like, this is, to me, mm-hmm. and maybe you think it was just a, I don't know what you think. I thought it was amazing writing, the way that they were able to call back something that was so personal, that, again, it kind of everything tying in a satisfying way for me is what why I like this. They dove into that evil guy's character.
Yep.
And then so you found out all this stuff about him. And then they tie that into the end, showing how smart that William is, and the way that he berated his own kid to get him off of him, basically. And I'm like, this is the only way that he can think of in the moment, and it's really smart to get him away from the killer, but it has such bad possible repercussions. Like, you hated to watch it,
yep.
but you knew that it was going to hopefully work, and you understood what he was doing. It was just such a deep, very interesting.
No,
and then
for
after
sure.
that happened, like, I'm feeling for this poor kid,
yep.
and then all that happens, and then they have the shootout, and then he's like,
a little
killer.
Goofy.
And then I didn't think it was that bad. I really didn't. I mean, they shot at each other through a door.
Yeah, because they were just like, it felt very like, bang, bang. Like, they're both shooting each other and both getting hit multiple times. And I'm like, okay. Feels a little odd for this kind of, there's a couple moments in this where it's a little bit like when the house is aflame and Edward Norton's running toward it and it just explodes.
That was the
I was
one.
Like,
I was,
okay.
I li- that
All
was,
right.
Yeah, like
there's
you were
Ratner.
Saying, this guy is like a Michael yeah. Bay. I was like, he threw that in yep. with the giant explosion. That was crazy. That, yes. This, I know we didn't like the second one, and we already talked about
yeah.
it. In Hannibal, when they had the whole shootout between the at the very beginning,
oh,
that
yeah.
was so like, what
felt
am I watching?
Over, yeah, felt
this,
super out of place.
He had to stay in one position to make sure he shot him.
Yep.
And he took a couple shots on the way and just kept shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It felt good to me. It felt realistic. I didn't have an issue with it. And then when he was struggling, laying there, basically telling his wife to shoot him, when you saw that she was practicing shooting earlier, and then the emotional toll that it had on her that she had to kill somebody for the first time.
Yeah.
Dude, just the ending and the way it wrapped everything up and the way that it affected like his loved ones. I don't know, man. I didn't think it was going to get to me.
I thought,
so surprised that I teared up. And I was like, this is good.
Wow.
This is really good.
Like, well, I'm glad I got that kind of emotional response of you. That's very surprising. I thought it would have been cool if Edward Norton had died there. And so the last thing he told
I thought
his
he was
kid,
dead. I thought he was
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, they really make it seem like he's dead and then
yeah.
he's just back. But and this probably is too goofy, but if Edward Norton's care, if Graham had died and then his kid had been berated and then also held at like glass point by
yeah.
by a you know psycho killer, and that was the last thing that ever happened. Now Graham's kid becomes a serial killer just like the Tooth Fairy because they've had the same trauma basically.
That would have been awful.
Yeah, it would have been goofy, but it ran through my head. I was like, could that have worked? Probably not.
Yeah, and luckily it didn't. I guarantee there's still a trauma from that kid that'll last for a while,
mm-hmm.
but at the same point, like right when he got him away, he was like, are you good? Like, he made it very apparent, like, I just did that to get him off of you. And even though the kid's young and probably didn't understand in the moment, I feel like it's something that, you know, could be worked on down the road. I'm getting diving into the kid's psyche and will he be okay? It's like, he's fake, dude. It's okay. So those are some of the things, the reasons why I liked it. And it worked for me. The highs and lows were higher and lower for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the bad parts might be a little lower, but not enough to where the highs didn't
lower
win out.
Than,
as far as like highs and lows, like not just emotions, which makes
yeah.
it good. I mean, highs and lows is in the high is good, the low is bad.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple parts that I want to try to figure out with you as to exactly what is going on with this, the antagonist in this movie, and some of the stuff that doesn't feel super clearly explained, but maybe they gave us enough and I just didn't dive into it as much. But there was some stuff that seemed weird and I still didn't fully understand, but he's kind of crazy, so maybe it's okay that we don't fully understand it.
Yep.
As far as understanding why the bad guy was doing what they were doing and some of the other story parts, I can give you that Silence of the Lambs maybe felt a little more cohesive, but the stuff that they had in this movie worked, and it tugged at my heartstrings more, and I just felt more invested, and so I liked it a lot more.
I definitely still would have to argue that Clary Starling is a stronger character than William Graham, and I think part of it is I'm not crazy about Norton's portrayal of the character at parts in this movie. There are plenty of parts, and he's not a bombastic, you know, over-the-top character. He is a quiet character, but man, times it's played a little too monotone, a little too disinterested. Like, he doesn't really care what's going on. Did you ever get that vibe from how he plays the character?
No, because the moments where he felt that way, there's maybe a couple of the very, like, in the beginning, maybe. I understand what you're saying, but I think some of those moments fit because he was trying to be a little detached from the situation already because he didn't really want to be involved until he got super involved. And then it kind of all went downhill. Well, they caught him, but, you know, then his family got involved, all that kind of stuff. So some of that may be worthy, and some of it I can understand what you're saying. There are a couple moments that I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But
It's just strange. After I did some more kind of like research about like the William Graham character in like the book and the other movie and stuff like that, and who he's supposed to be, and also he's in the show Hannibal, so like all the different interpretations.
Who's in the show Hannibal?
The William Graham, that character. Gotcha. is also I think the main character in the show. I haven't watched the show yet, but I was just, you know, kind of doing some reading because it seems to be a kind of an important part of this kind of, you know, mythology of Hannibal Lecter and all these movies. And it's a bit strange because he's supposed to be, evidently, and in this movie as well, kind of have this, like, extra power of being able to deduce by super empathizing with, you know, what's happening in, like, inside the minds of people like Hannibal and the Tooth Fairy and, you know, all these kind of, like, basically psychopaths, right? He's supposed to be kind of, like, he's supposed to empathize to a degree where he can actually see what's happening. And there are some parts where he has some weird flashbacks when he's, like, doing some detective work, but I didn't really get that from this guy. You know what I mean? That he's, like, this oddball, kind of socially awkward, you know, kind of super, almost like it's basically in a weird way a bit of a Sherlock type of stereotype. You know what I mean?
So you can either relate that to the fact that he didn't portray it well, or that's not quite the vibe they were going for this movie.
Well, that's what he does talk about it with Jack Crawford, the Harvey Keitel character in this movie. He's like, I'm not, or he said, I can't remember if it was him or somebody else, but he's like, I'm not a psychic, and then he kind of explains like how he's able to see things, and you know, you see him when he's like looking at photographs and stuff, like he'll have those jump scare like vision flashes and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it's clear that part's supposed to be there. It's just, I don't know, the portrayal of it was just strange to me, and I didn't really, plus I don't feel like he does much or change. He's just, it's very much like a former cop reluctantly joins a case and gets too absorbed in it. You know, that's the movie. Like that's not the movie. That's his character.
I think I would hope that by the end of this, he does learn, and maybe this isn't a big enough of a character arc for you, but he learns that being invested in something like this is not worth his family. And maybe they didn't show that very well. I'm just trying to figure out what it might be.
But they also kind of show that, you know, it seems like they needed him and Hannibal to work together in order to get this guy.
Right.
And so if the movie's saying getting involved in this isn't worth risking your family, then it's also basically saying, somebody else will get him. You know, which is kind of weird because the vast majority of the movie is pushing you towards getting this guy caught.
Well, I think it's the fact that, I think that's the weird dichotomy of this movie, is like, this is the guy who has what it takes to catch him with Hannibal's help. But at the same time, that might be what needs to be done, but at the end he realizes he risked his family for that. And so when he walks away the second time, he's gone for good. We don't see him in other movies because he's done. And I think he definitely learns that. But it's not a crazy character arc. Learning to not risk your family is not too crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'll agree with you that there wasn't anything super crazy, but I think just that revelation, I think it was almost like maybe he had an arc before this movie, and towards the beginning of this movie was his almost the big arc end where he captured Hannibal and all that. And this is watching him slip back into something and then, you know, coming back out of it, which might not be as interesting from that one character perspective. But I found it interesting when you brought Hannibal back in when he knows why he quit, which was because it was, you know, too much for him and all that stuff. But yet he was still willing to go back, even if it wasn't necessarily the right choice for his family. He didn't know that.
Right.
But that's what made it interesting was the dichotomy between the characters, not just him by himself. And so the fact that he didn't have a crazy character arc throughout this, I'm not saying it couldn't have been better. I'm not saying it's an amazing movie, like I said.
Well, I just said it's not as good as Starlings and Silence of the Lambs. That's my main criticism.
I'll give you that Starling had maybe a better full arc, but sure, she had some cool stuff with Hannibal, but that too, just everything else just fell flat. Like I don't want to say there wasn't enough going on, because the movie doesn't have to be crazy busy and everything going so fast. But
is subtle.
Right, and that's fine. Subtle work is great, but you know, there were some cool nuanced moments, obviously, between her and Hannibal, and I said those were the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
And of course that was probably a major part of the movie, but like you said, there are only four scenes of that. Mm-hmm. Now you see the effects of how they interact in the movie and how that unfolds the other parts of the plot and stuff, but how the other parts of the plot unfolded because of that wasn't as interesting to me as just the scenes of Starling and Hannibal, so I just didn't attach to it as much as this. I don't know. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, that's fine. I will say the very beginning of this movie where you're shown Hannibal being caught, I really don't like this part. Because it shows
we both said that Hannibal is not good in action situations. Keep him behind bars and let him do creepy stuff.
Well, it's not only that, but it's more of the how everything went down opposed to the actual action itself. Because the actual action itself was fine. I don't remember hating it.
Just all that combined. Like him, when he is taking people down in the real world and stuff, none of those themes seem to be great.
Well, in Silence of the Lambs, except for the actual physical action that was totally poorly shot of him beating the guy with the billy club and all that kind of stuff.
I guess we got out of the bar.
Gets out of actually the building and stuff like that in Silence of the Lambs, I love all that. That's great. Cutting the face off the dude and wearing it and getting out through the ambulance is fantastic. But in this, it's the fact that he gets caught by... It's just a guy who's supposed to be this intelligent and this useful but also this dangerous gets caught because he had another gun. He was careless. He left a cookbook bookmarked to the page about eating people. It's just, it feels really, feels really careless. And then, and it doesn't show Graham being incredibly intelligent. It's just, they even say it, I got lucky. So that feels like an incredibly underwhelming, especially with this being a prequel and having seen two previous movies showing Hannibal being, well, especially Silence of the Lambs, the movie Hannibal's a little weird, but he's built up and up as this intelligent mastermind, which I know is, you know, after the fact, but...
To be fair, Graham says, I got lucky, and then Hannibal says... We both know that that's not the case, or you don't believe that, or something along those lines. But
yeah,
he says it, but I don't know.
What is he going off of? Why does Hannibal think this guy's intelligent? I mean, he does intelligent things in the movie, don't get me wrong, but the way he got caught, I don't see it. You know what I mean? He literally got lucky by picking out that book, and it was half his fault for leaving it out and also leaving a bookmark.
I agree.
It's just...
I agree with that. That's why the beginning is not as... That's why I said the lows on this were probably lower than Silence of the Lambs. But to me, the reason I, again, like this more is just because the highs in this movie, at least on a personal level, I enjoyed more. They were higher for me. Towards the other one, just I'm not going to watch something that feels more monotone and just like as flat, which I know every time I say that I feel bad almost, because I know that's not like what you got. And it's not, again, I like nuanced work. I just couldn't connect as much to it.
Silence of the Lambs is, and we can talk about it, it's directed in a very in a very, you know, much older feeling style than this has the more modern sensibility. I mean, it's still, there are still some dated stuff about how this is shot, like especially those like quick cut jump scares to like how he's figuring out how the murders happen. I hate it all. Like the just that style. I remember movies from when I was younger that of that 2000s, you know, time period, and I'm just really tired of that style.
Weird side question. Are we gonna look at movies like 20 years later and see things that happen now that are like normal that we're like, I hate that's terrible, is it taste or is it actually just getting better? What's your opinion? Do you think movies are being made actually better, or is it just the taste changes?
Well,
or is it both? I think
they're technically being made better, as far as, you know, film resolution, you know, and things like that constantly are getting better, and the cameras used. Although I will say, it's going back and watching these, I like film grain a little bit. You know what I mean? Like it's weird to watch a movie that's like a gritty cop drama that doesn't have any film grain on it for me. You know what I mean? Like if you like an HBO show that's like set in the 30s, like I think there's that show that you won't know.
I don't watch
Perry Mason. There's a show on there, and it's like, you know, a gritty old cop drama, or like Peaky Blinders on Netflix. You've heard of those or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're all obviously shot digitally, just as most things are, and it's just odd. It doesn't have the same weight to it. It's just a dumb film, you know, thing that they just had to deal with. It's a flaw in old film, in the old making things, and now I miss it that it's not there in a weird way.
It makes it feel older and that time.
If there was film grain on Marvel movies, like an Avengers Endgame had film grain, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? This feels awful.
I think it's a style choice that can be beneficial at times, but I think that also can be personal. You say it doesn't have as much weight. Mm-hmm. I don't know if adding film grain for everyone adds weight to the story, but I like that insight.
I'm saying that it is a bit of a subjective thing on me, that I'm not saying that this is like a universal truth or anything like that. That's just how I feel, even though it's a bit irrational. But as far as like, I think we're going to look back on certain things. There's already been some criticism that like a lot of the movies that were filmed from like in and around the like 2010 were like all kind of the same weird like monotone color palette that made everything look all realistic. But honestly, just now if you look back at it, it just kind of looks boring to look at because they're all different shades of grays and blacks opposed to having, you know, more bombastic color choices. Because it's a movie at the end of the day. It's like you shouldn't sit there and think to yourself, well, how do I try to make this look as real and as flat as ever? Because in real life, you know, lighting is mostly terrible. So, you know, I don't know how we're going to look back on it. I think there will be some things that we look back on and go, that was weird how we did that, you know?
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's jump back into the movie.
So, let me see here. I want to talk about, Tooth Fairy killer guy in this, which I think is a dumb kind of, they don't say it a lot in the movie, but that's what he's referred to as, and I think that's a dumb call name. The Tooth Fairy killer. It's just because he, like, bites things and, like, has teeth prints. Dumb. The guy who plays him, whose name I can't remember the actor name, but very good actor. He is Voldemort, which I know we have never done any of the Harry Potter stuff, but I thought that was interesting.
And here we are announcing our next series.
Not Harry Potter. So I just thought that was.
And
other
speaking
people
of
like,
people leaking their nudes and seeing wing wings on things,
he has a very brief wing wing section for no reason. Why?
Well, he wakes up from. I mean, I wouldn't say it's no.
We understand
reason.
That he's naked. Why do we need to see a very quick flash of his dick? Isn't that weird? Like, I'm not. It's fine. Like, it's a movie. Like, you can. You know, he's an adult. Like, you can show his dick.
That's
if you
very
want
interesting because you don't think
it feels good. Like I don't know
you
why
don't like
there.
You don't like nudity when it's like gratuitous and like or put out there in reasons that they don't need to be.
Yeah, this doesn't feel gratuitous.
We watched him walking up the stairs.
Yeah,
and it was showing the stairs, which makes sense. If they did a close up of him walking up the stairs, then it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, if you saw like in full.
No, not
like
a close up of that. I mean, a close up even of him as he's going up the stairs. I like that we had a wide to see where he's coming into. And he happened to be naked because he slept naked and woke up. I didn't. I think it. I didn't, I'm not saying I enjoyed it. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, I don't want to look there. But, like, it didn't bother me the fact that the reason why, I guess. But I was like, man, I'm seeing a lot of this man's butt, dude.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like.
I mean, I hate movies where, when, after a sex scene, they'll show, like, they're still partially clothed. Don't know how that happens. And then also, like, they'll have the, like, the woman and the dude will have the, whatever, like, blanket will be, like, just propped up just enough to cover themselves or whatever. And I'm like, that's not real. People won't do that. It's just not a, unless it's actually cold in the room, which most of the time it's not going to be because you just did an activity that usually makes you warm. you know what I mean? It's like, it's a weird thing. So it's better than that.
I didn't have an issue, but the thing is, especially when you have a character that's so kind of out of his mind and almost what I would kind of say is, I don't know what he's very, like, probably bipolar and, like, schizophrenic
Let's
and all
compare.
This other stuff. But my point is, that's not on his mind. He's not like, let me put on clothes. He woke up naked and immediately went to go check this stuff because the girl was not there. Okay. It's
Let's
crazy that you think
the
it
killer
has no...
in Silence of the Lambs, whose killer code name I can't remember offhand, but you know who I'm talking about, the guy they're hunting.
Yep.
To this one, because they have similarities as far as, like, kind of like transformation stuff.
Buffalo Bill?
Buffalo Bill, thank you. Which, again, doesn't feel like it fits at all. when Buffalo Bill has that scene where you see him tuck and you can see full frontal.
What?
You remember?
No, what? Wait, say
towards
that again?
The end, Buffalo Bill is like showing himself off, and he's got that kind of. I'm gonna do it right. Quick.
Oh, I know.
You know
what I'm talking about.
When he tucks, and you can see full frontal, that serves a purpose, and I'm totally. I think that's good that they showed that because you're seeing kind of from his perspective, you know, looking through the mirror, trying to see into like his psyche a little bit of how he's seeing himself.
Okay.
So to compare that full frontal to this, where it's just like I was just running up a staircase. There's
okay,
no real.
No, here's the thing: is you want the nudity to. Add something like to me like that mm-hmm. added to the story, but this would doesn't
it's realistic
add, but it makes sense. It's not sure. It doesn't add, but it would have taken away if he got up and put on clothes. It
that,
wouldn't have made
yes.
sense. But
no,
so that's my
I
point
agree.
So it doesn't so you
but if they
like
just shot him waist up, then we wouldn't have that problem.
Well,
why
I don't think you need to shoot because why then you're just shooting waist up not to show it, then you're just making an effort not to show it when it's just I'm just showing a realistic moment. And you're like, again, I like that it was a wide shot to show the, you know, where he was in the first time we saw him working out in his creepy attic, that it was a wide shot showing the attic with the stairs and you see him running up it. I think that worked. I don't think so. Sure, the nudity didn't add to his character and his psyche in the plot, but it made sense in the plot. That's like,
I guess the thing is that nudity, at least for me, and I think a little bit for you, because I mean, you definitely noticed it. It takes me out of the movie. If it's not serving a purpose, when I see someone's dick and balls or, you know, any nudity, I'm taken aback because one, I'm not used to seeing it in that context, right? Usually in movies, you don't see, I mean, you see ass and a little bit of tit, you know, that's pretty common, but actually seeing genitalia in movies is kind of weird. It's out of the norm. So when I see it, I'm taken out of the movie. So that's why I consider it only do it when it serves a purpose, because if it's not, then
it served a purpose to keep it more realistic in my eyes. I don't think it has to add, but it could serve a purpose.
Agree, but it's still, it's harder for me to get into the scene and kind of forget that I'm watching a movie because as soon as I see that, my brain instantly goes, oh, it's weird. I'm seeing a dick in a
but
movie.
Is that,
that's
but
weird.
Is that the movie's fault or your fault, like the person watching it?
I mean, technically, I guess you're right. It is my fault, but I think I'm the majority of audiences.
But that's why I'm looking at this from that point of view, that mm-hmm. I think it, because it was realistic and helped set up the location of how they were showing her come upstairs with the full shot, I'm defending it based on that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, and I stand by that, but I purposely didn't look. Not at the screen, but at that area, because I don't want it. You know
well,
what I mean?
Sure, but it's so fast that, like, I can't, you know what I mean? It's,
no, but that's my point is, like, you say, like,
coming, sure.
Because,
but
like, you didn't want to look because it might take you out. And I might kind of agree with you, but I don't know if that's really a movie problem because it made sense in the situation. So to do something different would then make the movie not make sense.
Well, I think the problem is that I think most audiences would be with me as far as like they're
I don't like
seeing,
it. I'm not
seeing like graphic nudity in movies is usually pretty it's outside of the norm. So when it's there, it's like a shocking reminder of, I don't see this very often. Therefore, it's odd that I'm seeing it now. If you were more accustomed to it, then
again,
you know,
it's just interesting because I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I specifically, even in a situation like that, look away from that particular the screen because I'm not about that. But at the same,
good dick, you know?
But at the same time, I'm just kind of getting into like a deeper level of who's is that on, you know, you the movie.
I spent a lot of time on this man's parts. A lot of time on Voldemort's dick here.
So, do you want to point out just a couple other, or I guess me point out a couple other parts of this movie that, I guess, issues. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was trying to talk about highs and lows, you know, kind of equally.
Yeah.
That's why I brought up him to begin with, because I do think he did a good job in the role. He definitely had a lot more time than, say, Buffalo Bill did.
Yeah.
To kind of portray that character. Although I don't know. I still like Buffalo Bill, I think, more. This, I'm still trying to figure out.
I think Buffalo Bill's was more exactly, me too. Was more simple. You understood it. Boom. This guy is more complicated.
I don't think he's simple, though, man. You're talking about a guy who's like in this weird transitioning gender situation that's drove him to the point where he's killing and skinning women. Like, it's not a simple thing.
None of the kind of stuff that goes on in your mind like that is simple.
Yeah.
What I mean is, you understand. It's a simple as far as the cause and effect. Like, he has a lot going on upstairs to the point where he wants to be a woman, believes that he should and is kind of a woman, and wants to physically transform into that. So he kidnaps them, skins them to make himself a woman suit.
Yeah.
You got that. You followed that cause effect.
Right.
Whereas this guy is less simple. He's more complicated. The fact that this man had a bunch of, like, you find out that he was abused in such a weird way from, like, his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then
he lives in the house from fucking on a series of unfortunate events.
Basically, and then he has a giant red dragon tattoo, like on his back, and somehow that's related to why, like, his trauma, and then giving these women up to the red dragon, and almost like seeing that, like, it being another being, like, it's upstairs, it's gonna take you. I'm supposed to give it to, like, this guy. The problems and the reason he's doing these things, there's a lot more lines to connect than, I want to be a woman, I'm going to skin them and make myself a woman suit. Yeah, that's complicated in that person's head and wise and all that.
You can simplify him down to that kind of sentence as well, as far as, I was traumatized as a kid, therefore I invented a alternate personality of a giant beast that kills women in order to feel more confident about myself.
It just, that seems so much more complicated, because I understand why this guy is taking women and skinning them, which kills them, and making a suit. Why is he having to he has to have, like, an audience when he basically does these terrible things, and then he kills these people and then kills the women and puts mirrors in there.
Like,
there's so much, there's more layers.
I don't know if the movie actually explains enough about what's going on with him, because I looked up alternate, because I was curious. All those paintings they talk about, they show in the movie, are real. They're paintings, biblical paintings, set to depict the Book of Revelation in the Bible. It's kind of the Red Dragon is supposed to be, like, apparently there's a book perhaps in the Vatican that's, like, under lock and key by, like, the Pope, that has the, you know, that gives you the incantation to summon the Red Dragon, which is basically just the devil that comes back for, you know, what do they call that, rapture? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the thing. So basically he's just, like, has this. But here's the thing. I don't know. They don't talk about, he's not schizophrenic, this guy. At least they never say it. But he's kind of developed this psychopathic, because it doesn't have any empathy for others. He's just doing this purely for the social, for the selfish, not social, reasons of trying to transform into this next beast. But he has another personality that doesn't want to do this.
And
so I don't really know.
I'm very confused too, when it's like, again, I'm sticking to my point of, I think this guy has a lot more layers than the other.
Yeah, but are they
properly
explored?
That doesn't make it. I'm not saying he's better. I'm just saying he has more layers. That's all I'm saying. Sure. I said this guy's a little more confusing, and I don't know if we have all the answers or not. But yeah, he's talking about how he's showing the people that he like torments and stuff, and like when he was showing Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, the news reporter or whatever, the pictures on the slideshow is like, this is like before death, this is after I killed him, this is while they're transforming,
right? Yeah,
this is after they've been transformed. I'm like, why are you transforming people? What does that mean to you? Where did you get that? I get that you had trauma and that you were treated terribly and abusively. Why is that specifically causing you to want to like find this being that either transforms people or you want to be the Red Dragon? It's confusing.
So he's super strong, right? That's the idea, is that he's like this really strong, like, you know, guy who's, and also he had the cleft palate that he had repaired.
Yep.
So there's something to the idea where he had this childhood trauma, which from what I read in the book, I didn't read the book, but what I read about the book that happens is way worse than what they do in the movie. Basically, he's just chastised in the movie. His grandma like cuts his dick off in the book.
What?
It's nuts, because he's like peeing in the bed. So she's like, "Oh, you're not gonna do this anymore, snip." Like it's way darker. But so he has this trauma from a kid, and so he invents this beast in his mind that is basically Satan. I don't know if it was triggered by seeing these photos or these paintings at some point. And due to that he then kind of just falls into this insane personality he's got going, I guess. I don't know. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I do, but like it's just so, there's so many other layers of like, again, the physical things that you're doing to somebody, like in the first movie, like in Silence, I understand why they're doing those physical things. Right. This is just, it's just more complex in that way of like why he's doing those things. You know what I mean? It's interesting.
But I wish that the movie had kind of connect the dots a little bit more, and or at least given us enough to connect the dots, because I really don't think it did, because, you know, I don't really know why he's shoving mirror, like the bits of mirror into the eyes of the thing, because he doesn't want to see himself, but he'd be forcing himself to see himself because he's looking into those eyes while he's doing
I think he's putting them almost like behind the eyes, or in a way that reflects light, but that makes, he was saying it makes the eyes look more alive, because he wants an audience kind of thing.
I thought the audience was the kids that he brought in.
No, he says everybody that he puts mirrors in the eyes of, it's like he wants, they want an audience. Like it makes the eyes seem more alive.
I mean, I guess that, okay. I was thinking of the women specifically, but I mean, it's an interesting character. I like the tie with like the biblical crazy paintings and stuff like that.
And
but
why does he pick the people that he picks? Just because like he just finds a random video?
Only, yeah, because he makes the videos, or no, he's part of the team.
That. But okay, someone brings in the video and goes, "Well, now that I've got your house information, that's how I'll get to you." But why? Just, it doesn't really matter. It's just who can he get to, but the ones that he has more information,
well,
it's easier to get in.
Watching the videos over and over again, he's kind of fallen into like, you know what I mean, he's like
learning about them, and like feeling like a connection,
not like fall in love, but you know what I mean, he's
basically
he's kind of tied to them in a way. I would say that, but yeah, it's just really vague. And then they have this, they spend a lot of time on this romance he has with the blind woman to humanize him, which I think it's effective in a way, although again,
it's effective in a way that you can see his internal struggle more.
Just ask more questions, because I'm like, are you schizophrenic? Do you have multiple personalities, or is this who you, because it's just odd how they handle it. And then here's my big thing, right? So and this is the twist that Tyler was talking about earlier, is where, you know, we're in the final bit of the movie. He's got, you know, the blind woman over at his house, and it's kind of like a date situation, and the Red Dragon, you know, that part of him wants to take her like he takes all the other women, and like kill her and do all the stuff to it. But then he's actually kind of in love with her, so he doesn't want to do that. So he starts, you know, putting gasoline all over the floor and lights his house on fire, and they're in the middle. And
you skipped a crucial part.
Okay, go for it.
He's basically kind of spying on her after she comes over one night.
Yeah.
And then he's really weird. She's like, "What's wrong?" So then she goes on an almost date and confides in, maybe it was a date, whatever, confides in their with their other coworker.
Oh, yeah.
Who he kind of was jealous of at the start. You could kind of see that he was hitting on her and he seemed kind of jealous. But then, like, she kisses him on the cheek and he walks away, so he shoots him in the head,
yep,
right in front of her house, rings on the doorbell, kidnaps her, brings her to the house, then lights the house on fire.
Yeah, because he's mad at her, obviously, because he feels betrayed. But then, you know, he's just having all these conflicting feelings. But basically, where I'm getting to stays the same. He's gotten to the point where he's like, okay, you know what? I can't give you to him. I'm going to shoot you and then me. And she's like, well, don't do that. And then he just decides to just shoot him, like, basically shoot himself. And he, from our perspective, you see him blow his head off.
You don't see him blow his own head off.
But yes, a gun goes off and...
So you don't even see him, you don't even see him point the gun at himself.
But
technically,
you see blood splatter.
Right, so
on
you see that he points the gun at her. He's like, "I'm going to kill you then myself." Looks at her and he goes, "Please don't." And he's like, then you hear him say, "I can't do it." And then you hear the gunshot. You don't even see him turn the gun around. But yeah, yes. So you see him. You hear the gunshot, blood splatters, and then a body hits the floor. And then she is blind, so she goes to feel for the body
the face.
And sees basically a destroyed, blown out human face.
Which I didn't go back and look. It's probably the other guy that they switched out. But here's my thing.
But the point
is,
you can't
tell. Doesn't it
seem
weird that in order for, and then later on in the movie when we all think he's dead, that he blew his head off.
It was the guy that he shot outside
of
her
house. And then that's the one they find inside the blown up, you know, burned down house.
And then
he's able to do all the stuff with Graham and torture and shoot it at him and all that crap. But my point is that, so here's what must have happened then. They get into that point. He starts all the fire. He's going to kill both of them. But then he decides, no, I'm going to blow off this dude's head, throw him down, escape, and then leave her into the fire. Isn't that weird?
So he looked at his when after he like kidnapped her, like put chloroform over her, he was carrying her out of her house and he looks down at his body.
Mm-hmm.
The guy he just killed.
Yeah.
So maybe that's when he had the idea of like, this is a way I can get away.
He started it all. Why did he need to get away? I mean, they were already on his trail for sure. Like they were checking out, he saw him checking out his work and like all that kind of stuff. So he knew he was getting like they were getting close to catching him. But they should have also known that like, you know, that fire wasn't going to basically get him off scot-free forever. That's not, you know what I mean? Like they were going to find out who it was because there's no reason he should have believed that, you know, if they had ways of finding out like DNA and shit from like, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's a pretty good way of trying like to burn an entire body.
I guess, but then also do all these theatrics and like he doesn't seem one for all these.
It's not theatrics. It almost seems like the issue here seems like he's almost portrayed as too smart in that situation to think of all that before and then
also
act
be able to,
like he's going crazy.
Yeah.
Or is he actually going crazy? Because then if he's actually going crazy, there's no reason for him to
and
then get the other body and do
kindly
that.
Fell into place, basically. Yeah.
Now, I would like to think that he was just thinking about it at the beginning and he's smart. Mm-hmm. So the issue that I have is they made him seem a little too smart. That I can get over a little bit more than just things falling into place. Is it still an issue? Sure. Did it still set up for the end that allowed me to get very emotional? Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah.
But
I
at
just
the same
wish
time,
it had been changed a little bit so it was just a little more natural and how they came to that conclusion that he was going to fake his own death just because the way it was done, I was just like, oh, so he faked it and he did all that weird acting or he didn't act and it just all happened to work. I don't know. It just felt off. It's not like it's not like it doesn't make sense at all. Like it just doesn't work. It's
illogical. Again, that's why I think that they made him seem smarter than he kind of should have been in the moment.
Right.
Because if he was that smart, then it does make sense. Like it could have happened.
Yeah.
But for the character, it was a little bit off.
Yeah. It was a little weird. And so,
One other moment that there were a couple times where I was like, except I would like to go back.
Notes, yeah.
I would kind of like to go back and watch. I'm not going to because I said I wouldn't, so I'm sticking to it. No, I just honestly I'm not super interested to care enough.
Yep.
But watch Silence of the Lambs again to get another feel for it, to see some certain parts. Like, example, what I'm about to say now is how some of these characters seem maybe a little too smart. Or bring up things that it's like, I guess that could be a reason of and a clue to evidence for the next part. But seems like a stretch, but it works out. It's like something super nuanced. Something that happened in this movie was when Graham climbs the tree. He saw the broken tree branch, whatever. That's fine that he found the tree. Mm-hmm. And then he saw the carving. And his instinct wasn't, what does this carving mean? Let's figure out. It was immediately he goes, you had to sign your work because you were proud of it. I was like, how do you know that? I was like, I don't even know what this symbol is.
Yeah. Not a letter. It's not like his. Yeah, it doesn't even say. It's not like Tooth Fairy or, I mean, I don't know if he aligned with that or not. Right. But yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, the character is clearly.
I don't think he knew about the Red Dragon. If it was a symbol that related to the Red Dragon, sure. But it was like, you had to sign your work. You were proud of it. I was like, why was that the conclusion you came to?
But that's the thing.
And so they don't write it off as evidence and try to figure out more. It's just, no, that was signature. We know that. And that's okay.
So that's part of the Graham character where it's like he's has this ability to see the way a killer, see through the mind of a killer, basically. That's like an ability that he basically has. And that's why it's not like they don't do it at all in this movie. It's just the way they do it feels odd. It's just off and doesn't. You know what I mean? It just feels like he's coming to conclusions for random reasons, and less so that he's this, character that's kind of blessed and cursed with this ability, that haunts him, but also, helps him in these situations and kind of that kind of thing. There's some weird stuff in this. Blonde Edward Norton's weird. Don't know why they even if the character's blonde, why'd they make him blonde, man? It just looks weird on him.
Who?
On Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Is he blonde? He's not blonde in the beginning of the movie. It's just after he's been in Florida for a while. He just turns blonde.
I don't know.
It's just like strange. I don't know. That's a weird choice. That newspaper intro with all where they show all the names going by and it's like, don't like that. But it's a style choice. Doesn't matter. But oh, man, I'm so glad. That's one thing that like maybe we'll look back
showing
on.
A lot of this stuff from Silence of the Lambs.
It's straight up like kind of exposition weird things.
It was,
where,
I think they did something very similar to that in the beginning of the Silence of the Lambs. It was very similar type wordings and stuff, like the newspapers and stuff that they showed.
Not in like a title sequence.
But yeah,
they
I don't think so.
I think they showed newspapers in it that might have had little hints towards things, but they didn't actually do like a totally just detracted from all the characters' newspaper intro for a movie. Yeah. That kind of stuff like that. I was thinking while I was watching this that all those, like, because they have a lot of them in this movie and lots of other movies, they have those photos that are taken of the crime scene and stuff like that. So I always thought to myself, like, man, when they make a movie like this, they must have like a whole day where they just recreate photos for the movie that are crime scene photos. So they get like, I don't know, I just thought that was a
douse you in blood, lay on that bed, take some pictures.
And it's kind of like all sync up and stuff like that. So that's got to be a weird day for filming because there's no emotion to it. You're just taking a bunch of, it's just a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Where you just take a bunch of weird fucked up photos. There's a lot of cliches in this. Like I kind of brought up earlier, there's the old, I was out of the game, but they pulled me back in.
There were cliches in Silence of the Lambs, and your defense was, well, this is probably what started them, so.
Well, I said that how NCIS and CSI and all those crime procedural shows are made now was most likely in due because this was made in 2002.
Now I feel like I gotta watch Silence of the Lambs again so I have more facts of why it's not as good.
Go to your notes, man. Where are your notes at?
they might still be in here, to be honest with you.
But then also the wife is worried about former cop returning to the job type thing. Totally.
And she should be.
Yeah, I mean, I it's just like when you're watching it, it's just like, I feel like I'm saying, what's it? And then there's the cop gets angry at reporters cliche, which when I wrote that, it was so out of place in me because that's the first time you see Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then all of a sudden, Graham just gets like irrationally angry at him. You know what I'm talking about? They're like outside the original scene. I'm like, what the hell? Why did he get so pissed off?
But and then they explain it.
Yes. Then they go back and say there was a history there. But so I was like, okay, that one's not, I guess so. But it's still weird how they introduced it, I think, a little bit. I like how they recreated the scene from Silence of the Lambs of him going down in the asylum in like that same kind of hallway.
So now you like the weird like callbacks to previous movies?
But I was so expecting, because I couldn't remember from seeing it previously for when he turns the corner and finally sees for him to be standing and looking at him the same way he was in Silence of the Lambs, but he wasn't. And I was like, okay, good. They're doing a different thing because he should have a different reaction. He doesn't want to, he knows who's coming. He doesn't want to, he's not like intrigued. He doesn't like this guy. He fucking hates this guy.
I just so think I it's like, funny that makes sense you're within okay character. With that because like so many other issues or like small things that like, why are we redoing this part kind of thing? I don't know. I was fine with it.
Well, but again, when they do like the when they take him to a sheep and lamb like horse farm where there's like sheep around and it's like lambs, I was kind of like
somebody's farm and there happened to be a sheep there. That how do you have a problem with
because
that?
Because that feels like eight lambs.
It did
right?
not. You, I think you're stretching that one. They took him to a farm because they wanted to take him to a remote location in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
So
there's,
a farm makes
lots
sense.
Of different types of farms.
Oh my gosh, a
also,
lot of farms have animals.
Was,
those are common
shooting,
animals.
When she was shooting that gun. They were shooting kind of towards horses, and I was like, they would never do that.
I mean, that's
like you're shooting
fine.
In the
have
general
a,
direction of horses.
Have
like,
a problem with that, but the fact they went to a farm that had sheep on it, come on. It's a farm.
Well, when
they
I saw
have
it,
sheep.
I was just like, okay, that's not really. Farms usually are pretty specific. Like, we do a thing, especially modern farms.
You
it's not
a,
like
you,
we have a bunch of animals.
It's not
for no
modern
reason.
Farms, buddy. This is 80s.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that still counts for modern farms. I mean, if this was 1700s or something like that, yeah, I'd be like, okay, they had, you know, just basically whatever they could get. But now it's kind of like when you have a farm, you do a thing, basically. You know, like you're a
horse
farm.
I don't think
farm.
It's that far. You don't own a
all
farm.
Farms,
I think it's, I don't think it's that far stretched.
We live
like,
in an
stretched.
Area, and I know farm. Like, I know of farms around here. And they do a thing. They do one thing. It's that's
okay, so maybe some of the ones out there have a lot of sheep. Maybe it's, yeah. It's the same area that they were in before, so why aren't there sheep? That just seems like
just
such a weird
possible,
stretch,
but,
man.
And it's not like some big thing in the movie,
but they can
it made
walk down the
it.
Same hallway in the same kind of way and
well,
like show
the,
it way the
he's
same
in
way.
The same place.
Okay, yeah, just like there's a farm, so there might be freaking sheep on the farm. Whoop-de-doo, he's in the same place.
But they didn't have to make a sheep farm. They did it because of the name and because of the story. You know, come on.
They
I'm could
not have framed
crazy.
That shot differently so it didn't look so much like the other movie. But they didn't.
But that you don't see a difference there? I don't know.
Not I think that they're both fine. I think that the one that you're talking about adds more for sure, but mm-hmm. It's the same problem that I had with before that. Them being on a farm with sheep isn't an issue. It's just like it looks like
it's
you're
a,
looking for an
it's a
issue.
Tiny thing. I'm
nah,
not saying yeah.
No, no, no. This is very personal for you. It's not
fair enough.
That's not objective in my eyes. Actually at all cuz like yeah, whatever. But
well, it's just I'm just listing stuff I noticed, man. And you're
I know, but
I gotta
refute
dude.
It. That's what this podcast is for. If you want, we'll just have you do the podcast. You just go through your list. And go. Well, yep. That's it. I guess mm-hmm. I'm done.
That'd be great. Yeah, I you know what's kind of weird though is that like again this is another thing that I was like that was weird, but then it made sense later on in the movie. So, but when I first saw that there was the home videos and they were all like edited and stuff like that, I was like, who the fuck did this? Like, who in their home in the 80s is like with their VCR is like somehow making that level of home editing?
They're
I was
not.
Like, no way. Yeah, but then I was like, oh well, okay.
So you
makes
bring
sense.
Up all your issues that were then solved later.
Yeah,
good
which
to know.
Is, but these are in kind of a way it's like soft good points for the movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, because they do actually go out of their way and you know, kind of make sure that these things are
another
good.
Cool
I don't
thing.
I, like I said, I opened this up by saying I like this movie. I was
yeah,
pleasantly
yeah.
surprised.
I know, I'm just trying to make you like it more. That's all.
I'm not gonna like it more than this.
I gotta vouch for it more than the other movie because that's how I feel. Something I did like about this movie, which I think was a cool little add-on of how they wrote it, which was writing the character. The love interest of the antagonist, how she was blind.
Yeah.
Just because, and you might think that's a coincidence
that
or an easy
for,
way.
Like, for him to get close to.
Because she can't see.
Can't see, obviously, his tattoo or like his weird house or
no,
like,
but it's not just that. It's just, to me, it's more of the internal as far as
oh,
his,
she can't
his
see
issue.
Him
because yeah.
he feels, yeah,
and
yeah,
he
of
always
course.
Feels like the way that he looks is not good enough. That's why he shatters all the mirrors. He doesn't like his face with
yeah.
the mm-hmm. all that. So the fact that. That was the person that he kind of it made sense and was interesting. It almost gives, like, if you're blind and kind of just stare off at nothing, that's a glassy look to your eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I don't know.
Like they're little mirrors. Yep, wow. Yep.
And then I have I know you're still looking, but while you're looking, one kind of more thing that I liked was one of the lines by Edward Norton at the end when he said. When he was talking to the lady and he said, you didn't draw a freak. You drew a man with a freak on his back. Just the way he was explaining all that, I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, I like the way that he was, like, talking to her and, like, explaining and, like, understanding what's...
Is that when she's, like, when he's talking to her, like, right after kind of everything's happened?
Yeah, and then after all that line, he says, but also your hair.
Fucking stupid joke that I hated is, like, but your hair, though? Can you do something about that? And she's like, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, come on, maybe next time, do something about... It's just, like, it's almost like he was doing, like, a Bill Maher bit or like, some, like, bad comedian bit right there. Like,
I think
it was
terrible.
It went on too long, and it really was odd for me.
I could see it being odd for you. I didn't think it was terrible. It was a nice way that he was trying to soften the mood, but whatever.
Okay, so they do that whole bit where they have to, with the where they, you know, kill the power in the asylum because they're trying to get the note from Hannibal's room. And then they have, all right, we'll send in the super. And I was like, asylums have supers? Like, it's an apartment building? And then they have an old, like, an old English guy who's all pissed off, like, he's a super for an apartment building. I was just like, I guess? That's weird,
just,
right?
I would just say call it, like, something different. It was just like the mechanic
just
that
like
was
a,
fixing
a
things.
He's just like a handyman type guy. Yeah. It's just the fact they call him a super, and then he acted like supers in other movies for apartment buildings where he was like, ah, this fucking thing's always breaking, da-da-da. And I was like...
Well, there could be a mechanic that works on that building for sure, but just don't call it a super.
No, I know. It's not... It, like I said, I'm not like... This isn't a criticism of the movie. It's just a weird thing that I noticed while I was watching it where it was just like... It's an asylum. Why is he acting like an apartment building super?
That's
and like such
I
a stereotypical.
I didn't think he was acting like an apartment building super. I just thought he was like some mechanic.
Like if they had to do some fancy thing with the chef of the asylum and you had some like fat Italian guy going, hey, come on, we're making pizzas here. Come on. I was like, what? In an asylum? You have like a very stereotypical
chef? That's very
chef?
Different to me.
It's a guy who has to go fix things
and something always gets messed up. So he's grunting and groaning about it, whether it's a superintendent, whether it's a mechanic, whether it's an electrician who has to go back to the same place over and over because something's being messed up.
Yeah.
Just put them in a stereotype, like you said, is pushing it really far, in my opinion. I know you said it wasn't criticism, so I'm not tearing you apart about it, but it just, I don't know, that just seems like... Your example is like completely like way out there. With this one, it was like somebody's upset because he has to keep fixing the same thing because he works there.
Like
okay.
I don't know. It just if it's just a those are two worlds that I never put together until this movie. The fact that you'd have like you know a super for an asylum.
The fact they call him that maybe because I didn't hear that.
They just called him a handyman, but even then, like this whole event is odd. So him being upset about it always happening is a bit strange because I mean. You know, they did it on purpose. It's not something that happens all the time, apparently.
So other things happen with the building. You know, maybe it's not the lights, you know? I've hit all my little points. What other little points you got?
I like the shot that they do with the exercise room that where he's like on a chain and he's in like that gym and there's like all that stuff. But it feels way too extra.
Yeah, I had some mixed feelings about it. I thought it was cool.
And also the chance, they even say, I only get 30 minutes in here a week. And somehow, Graham has scheduled himself to come in, and he's only seen him four times in this whole movie. And somehow he's found that one 30-minute slot to go visit him out of the entire week. So I'm just saying, it's very clear they did that for the shot, because they wanted to be able to get close and have that like, am I going to bite you? You know,
yeah,
that kind of
catch
thing,
people
you know?
In weird times, but I can understand that because it was
also,
very.
They have like this whole weird prison gym on a tether, like rope around, just so he can get a like marginally more exercise than he can get in his already pretty big cell room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree that the fact that it was even not the fact that he caught him at that point, but the fact that. That was even
they
a thing. I was
all
like,
all that trouble when you know,
it's kind of weird.
He's no special. If you just watched him when he went around on a fence, that would be enough. You just have to actively watch him and only let him out in the day. What's he gonna do? Eat through the fence? You know, like he that would have been fine.
Maybe he will, bro. Maybe he'll eat through the fence.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So yeah, that's I mean, gosh, I know there was kind of more stuff, but overall, like I said, we kind of briefly talked about it, but the Philip Seymour Hoffman, the reporter, being glued to the chair and going through that whole scene and kind of explain, like it was very much, I guess, in a way, a villain monologue scene, but you know, it was done well. And man, when you see him get dumped out the van on a flaming wheelchair, I was like, whoa, I forgot about that shit. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yep.
That specific part for sure. But
yeah, I think I made a note that I was like, man, movie picking up halfway through right here, man.
We need more flaming wheelchair guys.
Flaming wheelchairs, dude. That was, yeah, that was nutty. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. We've made our points pretty clear, I guess, yeah, about our what we like about this one. Surprised that this was, I mean, for you, the best one somehow. And for me, I was just surprised that it didn't suck like the other one. So
no, you weren't surprised it didn't suck. It was good. You said it was,
yes,
good.
Yes.
That's different than
I
didn't suck.
Like, yeah.
Didn't suck and good are different.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, so if you're going to watch this series, just watch Red Dragon. The other ones, just forget about.
Wow. Absolute blasphemy. Also coming from the same guy who thinks The Force Awakens the best Star Wars.
I didn't say that.
You did say that once.
I said maybe, and I didn't have a lot of time to think about it.
The fact that even entered your brain is a crime.
I really like that movie. Again, I will stand by that. I like that movie.
You need to watch it again.
Okay. I mean, all right. I watched it before, I guess. How long? I watched like a year ago. It's not too long ago.
Did you watch it all the whole sequel trilogy before we watched Rise?
Yeah, I watched the originals, and I said screw the prequels, but I watched the original and the sequel trilogy.
But I remember, well, I was trying to remember from when we did the live stream. We were talking about the Shapiro video where we talked about his. I don't remember you having it that high up, but I guess it was kind of high up, wasn't it?
It was higher up. It was in like top five,
yeah,
for sure.
I guess it was,
but it wasn't top. I think my top ended up being Empire.
Yeah, I think you put like Empire.
I think it was Empire, New Hope, and then I think that might it might have been third.
I think you put Rogue One at third.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Rogue One's better, but
so
it might have been fourth.
Force Awakens might have been fourth, which is still raw. No, I'm just fucking around. So yeah, that's it. I guess we'll do a recap.
Our next episode, we're going to kind of recap the entire series and kind of rank it and give our final thoughts after letting the whole series sink in.
Yeah,
and then give you guys some more updates on the podcast and what's coming up in that episode. But until then, we've been us.
Movies.
And go follow us at That's Movies Brother on Instagram. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, give us a review. That'd be fantastic. Wow. And that's pretty much it. We're on YouTube. Follow me at Tyler C. Gillette. And I got a YouTube. It's Tyler Gillette.
Wow. So
if you want. What are you going to say?
If you're going to sign up for Audible anyway. www.audibletrial.com/ That's Movies Bro with no apostrophes or commas. Just saying.
You will get a free month. Why would you not, you know?
Exactly.
And if you like listening to us, then you could have listened to
We'll get 15 bucks if you do it. It's fucking insane. You can cancel right after. We'll still get $15.
And if you like listening to our, you know, like to our podcast, all you got to do is listen to like three worth, but in a book, you finished a book.
Boom.
Book.
I mean, I think that checks out. Yeah.
We're basically a book. Someone will write a book about us in the future. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That is fucking vain as shit. You think someone's going to write a book about you? Holy shit.
I said us, about the podcast.
Oh, you think someone's going to write a book about us?
It's a joke.
If I was to put money down, I would bet highly that no one's going to write a book on us. We're not even going to write a book on us.
If we write a book, it'll happen, though.
Dang.
So we'll
what
just
would
write
you name
own
a book? If you were going to write a book about us, what would you name it?
That's Us, Brother?
That's Books, Brother. That's stupid.
I'm gonna end it
now. Is this gonna make it in?
Sadly.
Bye bye.